You just tuned into the hippest way to start and grow your indie author career. Learn the ins, the outs, and all the all-arounds of self-publishing with the team from D2D and their industry-influencing guests. You're listening to Self-Publishing Insiders with Drafted Digital.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special pre-recorded edition of Self-Publishing Insiders. You guys know me, but for those of you who may not know me, I'm Jim. I lead marketing here at Draft Digital, and today it is my profound privilege to welcome Ange T. Dalton to the show. Hey, Ange.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. This is going to be fun, you guys, because we're going to talk about finding success after rejection. And let me read her bio for you guys a little bit, and then I'm going to just sort of go through what we're going to talk about today. So Ange T. Dalton lives in Middle Tennessee with her husband, her daughter, and three dogs. And as a little girl, she dreamt of creating powerful stories to inspire others and direct and produce movies. But we're here because she is a debut romantasy author of The Scars Within. It's the first in a trilogy. She's also a bookfluencer. She's got over 30,000 followers across Instagram and TikTok, with some of her posts going viral. She is very transparent. She shares that she's faced over 80 rejections before landing her debut novel with Simon Maverick. For those of you who haven't heard of Simon Maverick is Simon & Schuster's, a Big Five publisher. Simon Maverick is Simon & Schuster's newest imprint. It's an audiobook imprint. So she's landed her debut novel with Simon Maverick as an indie, no less. Her stories include themes shaped by mental health struggles and toxic book talk culture. So we're going to go through all of that. But let me just kind of lay out the groundwork here, Ange, because usually I hop into it and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And I want to just sort of lay out an outline for our viewers so they kind of know what we're going to talk about, because it's a lot to unpack. We've got a lot to talk about here in the next, I don't know, 42 minutes and 30 seconds or so.
Down to the second.
Yeah, no tough deadlines. But here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about resilience after rejection. We've never talked about that before on this show, Ange. But that's great. That's a recurring theme, and it needs to be talked about. So resilience after rejection, which is kind of built in with persistence and grit. So I always like talking about that. We're going to talk about indie publishing lessons learned. We're going to talk about mental health and writing as healing. We're going to talk about book talks influence, both positive and toxic sometimes, perhaps. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about just how in the world did you break through with a Big Five audiobook deal? And then finally, if we have time, I want to talk about how you're getting your romantasy to sort of break out, because there's a lot of, it's such a popular genre today. There are a lot of books kind of flooding the market, but you've found a way to break through. So let's get into it. First, can I just tell you, congratulations.
Thank you.
On your debut.
Thank you. Oh, it was a really good day today. we hit a milestone in copies sold. And
how many?
Crazy. Well, we hit over 2,000 today.
Congratulations.
Oh, in 3 months. And it just keeps growing. Oh, every time I refresh it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so thankful.
So are you sitting at your laptop like, boink, boink? Boy, it's okay to admit it. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, can you start by telling us about the Scars Within journey and kind of what led you to write the book in the first place?
So you said earlier, I'm a very transparent person. I always have been, and I will continue to be, because I have dealt with some lows, not going to unpack too much there. But about a decade ago, I finally woke up one morning and decided that I was tired of living the life I was living. And, you know, instead of hating myself and hating everything around me, like I had a change. And So like ever since then, I have been open because there might be somebody else out there that needs to hear, needs to know, like maybe, you know, somebody else is going through the same thing that you are and, you know, like look where they are now, or, you know, if they're making it, you can too. And so I've really folded that into like my author journey. And because whenever I first had this idea about this book, I had actually started chapter one of a self-help book a decade ago.
Oh, really?
And I did not finish chapter one. I was like, I don't know how to write a book. Like, I've always imagined like sharing my story in a way for others who need to hear it and hear how I came out on the other side. And yeah. I'm still trucking it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how to. And my best friend and I, my long distance best friend and I, picked up this book called Fourth Wing in January 2024. Mm-hmm. And because we're big nerds about Game of Thrones and all the things. And
you're among nerdy friends here. So
yes, and I have I'm 30 now, and I feel like I have finally like fully embraced my inner nerd at 30.
Isn't the best? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And We picked up this book because we heard dragons, we heard spice, we heard Game of Thrones-ish. All the things. And it quickly became a personality. So we dove into the Sarah J. Maas world and all these others. And from January to that summer, like after we had fallen in love with these three series, and like I found myself, like, because we buddy read everything, and we have for over a year and a half now. And I just felt like my heart was chasing that same feeling that I got from those three series. Mm-hmm. And we just couldn't find it. And we were reading left and right. And so I had this idea. I guess it kind of mixed in with the fact that, like, I wish my younger self had a dragon, like Fourth Wing. Like, I wish my younger self had these books and this love for this genre back mm-hmm. then. But all these books weren't out back then. And so I had the idea, like, what if I could write a story? You know, I've been looking for that spark. What if, since I can't find it, what if I can write it for myself? Mm-hmm. And I could add in that idea for that self-help book into this story at the same time, kind of like how Rebecca Yarros wrote in her Chronic Illness. Because in all of the romanticy books we were reading, I didn't see a strong mental health representation. And mm-hmm. the mental health, that is something that I feel like has just honestly come to light over the last 10 to 15 years. And it needs more. It needs more attention. And I'm a survivor from it. And I know there are so many people out there that are or going through it. So I was like, what if I can write my own story into a new fantasy story? So it's like a way of me sharing my story without sharing my story, because I had connected to characters in these fantasy worlds more than I ever connected to a self-help book,
mm-hmm.
thing, a show, movie, anything. And I was like, what if I could do that? So I texted in the group chat and I was like, I'm going to write a book. And my friends know how crazy I am. And they said, do it. So I kind of secretly started doing it. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I made friends with another debut author. And she was kind enough. I told her, I was like, I don't know what to do. What do I do? So she kind of gave me the steps. You know, just get it written first, and then you can decide, go traditional, go get self.
And you just get it out.
Yeah, just get it out. She's like, just write it and get it as best as you can first, and then you go from there.
Right. And I'm sorry, how long ago was that when you just first started writing it?
I started it, have my journal right here, June 9th of 2024. Was whenever I first put pen to paper on my computer. Okay. And I started just going for it and plotting it as I go. And like in my bio, I mentioned I always dreamed as a little kid, like writing movies. So like I didn't do the outline or anything. Like I just kind of played the story out like a movie would in my mind.
Okay.
So I don't know how many people, I know a lot of people like do the board and the vision boards. You know, everybody has their own different processes, but I'm just going to write it like it's a story in my mind and go from there.
Okay.
And like at that point in time, like I knew it was going to have the dragon bonds like this, and then X like this, and X like this. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be kind of like my little self-help thing. But then as I started, like, I was close to finishing it and doing multiple drafts, and I was kind of plotting out, like, the series for it to be a series, I was like, oh, man, like, this is actually pretty good. I was like, that's whenever I started to really believe in myself. And I was like, I think that I could make this popular, get this in people's hands. And for the people who want to read it, the people who are also looking for that same spark, like I was after the series. And that's how the Scourge Within was born.
Okay. That's wow.
I ran with it, and I was about 10,000 words into my first draft, and we were at Chinese, and my fortune cookie said, you have a charming way with words. You should write a book.
Really?
Yes. I was 10,000 words in. We were on vacation, and that fortune is in my Kindle case.
I mean, I have been known to save some fortunes who are better. Just like, what? That's impossible. How could that show up right now?
Yeah. So I just ran with it.
Okay. So let me back up a little bit. So before you started writing, though, were you already on the socials kind of doing your thing there? And if so, did you use that to kind of, I don't know, forge your path into writing your book?
Yeah. Whenever we became like big into Fourth Wing and like we started reading, and that's whenever I started like doing like becoming a book talker, a book influencer, and sharing my own recs and stuff. And it actually took me a while to like publicly put on my profiles that I was writing, because I just didn't have that confidence in myself yet. I didn't know if it would end up being a thing.
You're talking about books all the time.
Yeah. And I didn't know if it would end up being a thing. And I just remember being so scared, like finally saying like, guys, I'm writing a book, you know, like I'm doing it. I mean, it's hard. And like, not only am I going to face the rejection of, you know, putting a book out there, but it's also kind of a big chunk of my story. So it was terrifying.
Well, when you made that announcement, what was the community's response to that?
Loved it. They cheered me on. I started, whenever I announced it, I had already decided, like, I'm going to try to go traditional because I don't know what the heck I'm doing, you know? And I know it's like, I mean, I Googled and I researched and everything. I was like, okay, if I get the agent, then they can lead me in the right path. And then they can, you know, submit me to publishing houses and stuff like that. I just knew that self-publishing would be a tremendously hard journey because I didn't know what I was doing and I would just have to learn. And so, and also like whenever I was researching self versus trad, in the back of my mind, that little voice in my mind said, like, there's no way someone like me could do something like that. Like, there's no way that a brand new person who is writing something for the very first time could get their books on the shelves. And so that's whenever I decided, because that's the kind of me 10 years ago. That's
you and millions of other debut authors, but had that same sentiment, but go on.
Yeah. And I was like, no, like, we don't think like that anymore. So since I had that doubt in myself, I was like, I'm going to try to take it all the way. So my goal is to see my books on the shelf one day. And so like I made that very transparent in my socials, like they knew I was querying. And every time I get like an update about like, you know, 20 queries in or 20 no's, like I'm still going to keep going. And I just kept them updated through that process. And so I started to grow this community of people who are, you know, sitting there rooting for me to succeed, and they want to see my book. They want to read my book, and they're following me along this whole process. Mm-hmm. And then whenever I decided to self-publish, I had actually gotten a full manuscript request, and the agent read it in 4 days. She loved it. She was a very big fan of the romantic genre, but she said that since it has dragons like Fourth Wing does, that she doesn't think it would market that well. And so she's going to have to pass. Hmm. So that is what sparked my motivation to self-publish. Because I was like, okay, you're wrong. Like, in respectfully, like, she wasn't meaning it in a terrible way, but that is what like really ignited my fire under my butt.
So like, that was like a turning point, I guess, for you. Like, because at that point, that was, you know, were you approaching you've mentioned that you've had 80, there were 80 rejections. I mean, well, first, let me just stop right there, because a lot of people would be like, I've got my first rejection, I'm done.
Yeah.
But we've all heard stories of authors who have persevered after rejection, after rejection, after rejection. Was your community, did that help kind of pull you through when you were getting these rejections? Is that what did it for you? Because a lot of people would have just quit and said, okay, I'm done.
It did. And also, like, I feel like the backbone that I've built for myself over the last decade, I read a great book some years ago, Go for No. Mm-hmm. Can't remember the title or the author's name, but it was a really quick read, really good read. And that has just kind of always stuck with me. And I just knew, like, in an industry like this, like, if I was to be picked up automatically by an agent and then get taken and get in a book deal, it wouldn't mean as much as it does now, because mm-hmm. every single no tested my belief in my story.
You've been through the gauntlet.
Yeah, pretty much. And I have fallen out of that gauntlet and redone it several times. But like every no got me closer and it made me believe in my story even more. So it's like, as that rejection came in, it's like my motivation and my resilience in the story grew more, because I was like, no, if I don't believe in the story, nobody else is going to believe in the story. At the end of the day, my husband's my number one supporter. My best friends are my number one fans. But this story isn't going to get on the shelves one day and fulfill that goal if I don't believe in it with my whole freaking heart, you know? And yep. I'm not afraid of the word no. I'm not. I do get my feelings hurt whenever you kind of, you know, Goodreads people are not that nice. So that's what I heard.
But let me, can I stop you there for a second? Because you've said a couple of things that I really want to underscore here. Mm-hmm. You've got yourself to a point where, you know, somebody from the trad side told you, I mean, and this is not disrespectful, but they told you that, hey, you know, the dragon thing is kind of, it's been played out. So we don't think this is going to be marketable. And you're like, you have now armed yourself with the experience and the knowledge, and not to mention this community around you, to have the confidence to say, I'm not buying that. Like, I don't believe that. I know that there's an audience there because I'm interacting with them every single day, which I believe is the superpower of indies out there, because no one's closer to their audiences than people like you, Ed, who are just have this intimate connection with their readers. So I just think that that's an important point, and I want to make sure that our viewers out there caught that.
Yeah. And like, the fact is, like, I know people are looking for it, because I was looking for it. I was looking for this story. And whenever I was, like, first, like, we first started reading and everything, and I started, you know, becoming a book talker and making my own content and stuff, like, that's whenever I kind of had learned. I was confused. I was like, why are all these books that I'm adding to my TBR that I'm seeing on TikTok, I'm seeing on Instagram, and I'm saving them, but then I go to the store and they're not there? I didn't understand. I was still a baby whenever it came to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's whenever I just learned that, okay, like, a lot of those books, a lot of these books that these readers are loving, they're self-published. And that's why they're not at Barnes & Noble or Target and Walmart. And that was always in the back of my mind, too. I was like, there's this gap between what the publishing industry thinks readers want versus what this huge community on BookTok and Instagram, what the readers really want. There's this gap.
I'm so glad you're saying this right now.
Yeah, because the way that this community has really driven the publishing industry, especially the last 5 years, I mean, look at all these amazing books they start off indie. And because people love them so much, they end up getting picked up trad.
Yeah.
Because these authors have a story that, but you know, they can't get somebody else to do it for them, so they do it themselves. Well, turns out this is a story that people fall in love with.
Yeah, it's a trend that we've been noticing here too. I don't know if you know, but Drafted Digital owns the Smashwords store, which is all indie.
Yeah.
And sales have just been going, and we're like, what's going on? Because the rest of the industry isn't really growing like this when it comes to eBooks. But we believe wholeheartedly that it's the indie reader community, the ones who aren't necessarily, you know, going into the brick and mortar bookstores, are the ones who are really driven by finding the diamonds in the rough, the books that others haven't heard of, the emerging authors, so that they can tell all of their friends and their followers, like, you guys have to check out this indie author who just wrote this incredible debut book called The Scars Within. Like, those folks, I think, are kind of leading the industry right now.
Sure. And there's a big gap. And I knew that when this agent said that. And the fact that she binged it in 4 days and loved it. And I mean, she was mentioning parts like of the ending of it, but she said it's not going to market well. So I respectfully told her she was wrong. And that's whenever I set forth, and we didn't have the extra money. I mean, things have been tight with the economy and everything. And so I told my husband, I was like, I just need like a few $100 so I can buy my ISBNs, because that's what all this research says to do. Like, buy the ISBNs, don't get the free ones. Mm-hmm. And I want to copyright it. But I was like, I will edit it to my best of my ability. I will format it. I will design the cover. I was like, I'll do everything else. Already got the marketing. Already done it. And so I put my head down and I decided I'm going to be a self-publisher. And one day, I don't know when, but I'm going to see it on the shelves. And I'm not in this for the money. I'm in it to prove myself wrong and to prove to other people and readers and future authors that, like, you don't have to go traditional first to be a successful author, because success is different for everybody. It's not a one size fits all.
Right.
And I had this community and they backed me up and they knew exactly what I was doing. I was like, give me a couple weeks, guys. I'm gonna get this cover. Got the cover, picked a date, got it.
And you designed it yourself.
I did. I've actually been working on the cover for book two. She's beautiful. This is actually my ghosties are reading it, my book right now.
Nice. So
my friend and I designed this.
Nice.
And I did it through Amazon because it's free to do it through Amazon. I had issues with Ingram Spark. I got mad at it, gave up. Oh, my no. And so the ebook was available for pre-order on Amazon.
Okay.
And perfect. Just from those ebook pre-orders from the community and my friends that wanted to support me, that's what boosted me in the ranks. And within like a couple of weeks, I'm a Maverick family. Because awesome. They saw it and they found me in their database and they liked my cover.
That's how they found you, was through the pre-order accumulations at Amazon. Yeah,
the ebook pre-orders were boosting me enough that they found me and emailed me. And at first I thought it was spam. I was like, there's no way.
Pre-orders. We've talked about pre-orders here on this show several times. You're like, you guys have to do pre-orders because not a ton of authors do them. We're like, well, we have all this data that's saying they work, and they work very well mm-hmm. if you do them, because we can see that this book's going to pop when it's released. But mm-hmm. thanks for talking about that. Is there anything that you would do differently, you know, in the indie journey? If you look back to where you are today and how you got the Simon Maverick deal, is there anything that you would do differently?
I would definitely try to build my ARC list. Like, I didn't, like, going into this, I didn't know numbers, like how many ARC readers should I find? What's the marketing like? Do I need to try to collab with, you know, these bigger influencers who do this like as a job? And I didn't really know that. So I would definitely, like, my goal for book two, if I am still a self-published author by the time I release book two, I'm mm-hmm. getting as many freaking ARC readers as I possibly can, because I have made debut author friends or debut besties, and my like 130 ARC readers versus her like almost 2000, hers popped off a lot quicker once she released it, because she already had those readers, you know, already had those reviews through Goodreads. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, should have done that. Now I will, you know, so definitely trying
you can't
to
know everything the very first day.
Yeah. So definitely getting it into more people, as many people's hands as possible.
Okay.
And definitely connecting with those book influencers. Okay. And really, because working with them and them marketing my book and reading and sharing it has done so much like more return on an investment mm-hmm. than like Instagram ads or TikTok ads. Yeah. Those have done nothing almost. And so, because it's word of mouth and it's this community. And if I have my favorite book talkers, if they say that they love this book, I want to read the book, you know? And so once I kind of started, I was looking left and right, like reaching out to people on Instagram. Like, look, guys, like I'm a debut author. I've picked up SNS. I'm trying to get this book to pop off. I think that you'd really love it. And individually messaging all those people over the last 3 months. And August has been my best month yet. Like I feel like we're finally starting to really catch that momentum and just catch it and run with it. But again, it's that book talk community.
Okay.
That community that is just really driving these readers.
Okay. So that's one of your do's is just, you know, connect with those influencers out there. Like, not really, just push, but create a relationship with them. Get them to know you a little bit more. And it was then one of your don'ts is like, you know, don't worry so much about the ad spend. What you really want is that word of mouth.
Yeah. Like find those influencers that will work with you.
Okay.
You know, to getting it on their socials and, you know, getting their reviews, because these people, you know, there's so many readers that look up to these, And sure. So my favorite influencers have like read Scars or will be reading Scars. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm so honored because like I look up to them, you know what I mean? Like in a way, and it's just crazy.
Well, so many people do. I mean, so many people do. That's why they're influencers. It's a word of mouth industry. I mean,
it is. I don't read reviews. Like, I want to see, did the book make you cry? Did it make you laugh? Like, that's what I want to see. I don't go read reviews on things. I barely even read the blurb.
Yeah. I think marketing dollars might help with a little bit of, you know, creating some awareness. People might see the title here and there, but nothing's going to help a book really spark, really hit that viral chord more than reader word of mouth, or if you get lucky, influencer word of mouth, speaking to your 300, 3,000, 30,000 closest friends out there.
Yeah.
Do you have any, you mentioned advertising didn't really work out as you might have expected. Are there any other, I don't know, any other experiments that you did leading up to the release of your book that, maybe just didn't quite pan out the way you'd expected it to, or anything that you would avoid? Maybe that you tried but would avoid, or that you would advise others to avoid?
Yeah, of course. But now I've like went completely blank.
No, that's all right.
I
got plenty more questions. We can
go. Okay. Yeah. I think, I guess, like, whenever it comes to marketing, like, you know, you really got to make that game plan. Like I had a little spread, like a little sheet, and it said, get this stuff into print, you know, get this shit into print. And so you really got to make that game plan, and you really got to like focus. Like if you're going to use social media as a marketing tool, like you really got to stay consistent with it. You got to stay on those trends. You got to, you know, turn your book into those trends. Also something that I learned works better. Like whenever I'm making content that I'm acting as if I'm the reader, not the author, that content does better for some reason, because they're seeing me as like an influencer talking about this book, and instead of like me, an author marketing, so you buy the book. Does that make sense?
So yes, so you're not all me all day long.
I'm doing these little snippets of like when she just said yes to go to the ball with this one twin brother, but then the other twin brother ends up jumping into the pit, which he's being burned alive. You know what I mean? Like doing like stuff like that, like acting as if I'm the reader and not the author.
Okay.
Because I feel like when you're trying to sell something, people kind of scroll faster. So I don't want to.
Yeah, they've got like an instant kind of wall that is put up.
Yeah. And if I'm the author, of course, I think my book's the best. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just like a retention thing, especially with the scrolling, you know, getting those, that hook and getting those people to, in those first 3 seconds, getting them to stay on your video and see what it's about. And then, oh, they're curious. Oh, they're going to the comments. And you're like, what is this book title? Like, I got to read it.
Yeah.
And then they find out like, oh, she's the author, you know, instead of being like, oh, that's an author post. I'm just going to keep scrolling.
Yeah. That's interesting. Okay. Can we shift gears a little bit? Want to talk a little bit about, you know, mental health and the creative process, specifically writing as healing, because you, I don't know if I've read this or you mentioned it to me, and as we were setting up this interview, that your struggles with mental health kind of shaped the backbone of the story. So can you share how writing Romanticy became part of your healing process?
I was really able to, like I said, like my lowest of lows was a decade ago. I was 20, I'm 30 now. And so like, while it definitely was not all an uphill battle, like, I feel like I got to a point and I kind of just swept it under the rug. You know, like I kind of became the person I want to be. And then it's like, once you get to where you want to be, you kind of forget of what it's like or what it was like when you were there. If that makes sense. Like it's, and so like, and a lot of, you know, a lot of the stuff, like still day to day stuff. Like there's a big focus in the book about our FMC's father abandoning her. My father left whenever I was 2. So this character in this book was truly inspired by this man that I don't know if he's still out there. Mm-hmm. And it's because he was my main villain in what really started my mental health journey, like growing up, teens and preteens and everything. And so being able to go back and like think about how I felt, because the prologue is like a mirrored representation of my 2 lowest moments. Okay. And that's where we start. And then we go a year forward. We're like, okay, like she's still kicking. Like, and that's whenever the story really starts. And so putting myself back in those days has just really reminded me of, you know, how far I've come.
Yeah.
And because I've been digging up, you know, like all these memories and all these feelings about everything. And then it doesn't really happen as much in book 1, where she's having this conversation with her father that I always wanted to have with mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's in book 2. Yeah. And in book 2, I'm like cheering her on, girl. Like, yes. Like we finally got to say it to this man who doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, I know there are so many readers that are also going through that same thing, like with the parent issues. And so I got to watch her fall apart and be at her low and then literally crawl her way out of rock bottom. And it's just like bringing me back, and it's just making me so much more grateful for what I have now. Like I've already thought about the dedication for book 3, and I'm going to dedicate it to my younger self and tell her, like, you kept writing and look where we are now.
That's awesome. I love that.
And book 2's dedication is going to be my love letter to my father. That's what the dedication is. Because like in book 2, like she is really just, she's had it and she's done. And like she's tired of letting everybody else control her fate. And it's just, it has stirred up so many emotions. I'm not a huge emotional person. Like I don't cry anymore like I used to. But I've cried so much over this book in the last year, but it's been like a good cry. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, I feel like I'm finally embracing a lot of things that I conquered. And I was like, okay, let's forget about that and scoot it out the door. Because
just listening to you, Ange, and I didn't mean to step on your toes there, but I'm hearing this through line of like, I don't know, just like this, how can I articulate this? This through line of, you know, being down and out, but coming through it and being stronger on the other end of it.
Yeah.
I mean, my story doesn't compare. I mean, I went through panic attacks, you know, back when I was in my 20s, and they were awful. And I wouldn't wish them on my worst enemy. But then when I at the time, you think, well, I'm never going to get past this. This is awful. I guess this is me now. But then once you do get past it, you're like, oh my God, like, thank you so much for allowing me to have that experience. I learned so much from it. And now I'm this completely different person. And yeah, it sounds like that's what's happening with your stories.
Yeah. And in book 1, our FMC does have a panic attack, and like the way, because obviously it's a fantasy and like dragons aren't real and stuff like that, but like the way I've put my personal story into this story is mainly of how she feels about herself.
Okay.
And because it's first person, so like you're getting all of her inner monologue, and she started to have this panic attack, and really I really dug in. I wanted the reader to feel it with her, because most readers have probably experienced the same thing, and I want them to feel it with me and know like she got up, she got herself off the ground just like you can. And like one of the turning points whenever I was 20, I thought I was having a heart attack. Like I had the symptoms. I was at college actually, and I drove myself from class to the ER because like I couldn't feel my left arm and I was having the chest pains, and I had had them on and off for a couple of years at this point. And I went and everything was fine. And the doctor just sat down with me and he said, this is your body's way of telling you that something's got to change.
Yeah.
And then I had my lowest moment, and then I woke up and I was like, you know what? I'm still here and we're going to keep going. And it's just the way that I get to watch this FMC, because I haven't written book three yet, but I've plotted it. Like I know how it ends, know how it starts, okay. Got to fill out the middle. But I'm telling you, like book two in this series, like this is just like, I feel like this is going to be the one that really, really, really hits home for a lot of people. Because we're at that middle stage, like, you know, she's climbing out, she's getting knocked back down, she's getting up, she's getting knocked back down. And towards the end of book two, she's like, you know what? Nobody's knocking me down anymore. I'm here. Nice. I'm here to stay. We're going to fix this. We're going to fix this. And nobody else is going to be doing anything bad to me. So,
that's an important message. It's such an important message to hear for people to know that, you know, you're not alone, I guess, is the core of it. Like, you're not alone. I wish I had somebody take me aside when I was going through my panic attacks to say, hey man, there's like millions of other people out there who go through this too. Because I would have been like, really? When I finally did learn that, that kind of just like, that was a turning point for me. Just knowing that I wasn't alone. That I wasn't some weirdo going through this stuff.
Yeah.
By myself. So, book two. Is book two done? Are you close to it?
I have sent it to my editor.
Okay.
It shall be done by the end of September.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it already listed as a pre-order now? Or
no, not yet. So yeah. I'm waiting on Salmon
Library. Have all the assets together?
Huh?
Are you going to wait until you have the cover and the manuscript?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're waiting to see, because we want to, Simon Maverick and I, that the launch wasn't simultaneously, because like whatever we released, because I released my book first and then there's this, they had to produce it. So we want to release everything at the same time. And okay. So we're just kind of, I'm waiting on that date. So, and then we'll go from there. But not yet. I've been working on the cover. And
they're allowing you to design the cover? Are they like, no, we've got that covered for
you? Technically, they just have me for audio.
Okay.
So I'm technically a self-published for, you know, the print, the ebook and everything. And so like in my mind, specifically for the series, like I've already done the cover and I already kind of have the idea of how I want the next two done. I'm going to do this because this is like my baby series. It's my debut series. So like if I'm self-publishing, like this is going to be my indie covers, because I know a lot of readers go crazy whenever an indie book gets picked up, trad, and you got to run and get that indie copy. Like I have an indie copy of Quicksilver.
Mm-hmm.
That's gold. You know what I mean? Like that's not available anymore. And so, because like in my mind, one day, whenever I see it on the shelf, I'm going to tell that cover designer, like, take my idea and make it better.
Okay.
And I know I'm not the best, but like, I feel like I'm going to do it for now. I'm going to do the covers for now and hopefully, but we will go from there.
Okay. Can we talk a little bit about, you know, breaking through with Simon Maverick and how you landed that deal in the first place? Like, tell us about number one, you already mentioned how they found you because they noticed that your pre-order on Amazon was really starting to take off. So tell us a little bit more about that moment where you found out that Simon Maverick, and again, just a reminder for everybody out there, Simon Maverick is the audio imprint of Simon & Schuster. What was that like when you found out that, hey, we want you?
So I have all my notifications on my phone turned off, and my phone's been on Do Not Disturb for like over a decade. But my author email, I got notifications on because like going through queries and everything's like, I want to know what people respond to me. So we were walking into Walmart and I see my phone and I think I got a Gmail and it says from Simon Maverick and Simon is Houston. So I opened it instantly and I had froze like walking into Walmart and my husband was like, what's wrong? Who died? Like what's going on? Because I just stood there, my mouth dropped and I got the email from Jason Ponter and he was saying how he's like the new, the head of Simon Maverick, a new imprints for audio, that they see scars. They love the cover and would love to discuss more and try to get scars into audio. And I was like, I think this is spam. This has to be spam. Like, how is a Big Five publisher going to find me? You know what I mean? I haven't released my book yet. So I did some digging and found out that Jason Hunter actually was the head of Simon Maverick, and this was actually an imprint and everything, and that they were really working on finding their own talent, self-published talent and stuff. And so I told my husband, I was like, we got to hurry up and get these groceries. I got to go home and email this dude back. So lo and behold, he was real. And
your husband was like, okay, just wait.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, he wanted the manuscript, so I sent him the ebook. But then I didn't hear back for 13 days.
Oh, really? Were you just dying during this?
I was so discouraged. I was like, they didn't like it. They hate it. It's fun. I got my hopes up. You know what I mean? And then me and my daughter were about to take a nap, and I got the email, and it was Chantel Osmond, my editor with Simon Maverick. Okay. And she was like, you know, I couldn't put the book down. Here's the book offer, audiobook offer for all three books that we want to give you. And we would love to have a Zoom call, discuss more. We did not take a nap. I was like, I can't sleep now, because it took 13 days because I thought they didn't like it, and I just, you know, had to be patient. But so they read it and they liked it, and then they offered me the deal, and then we were on Zoom and I got to meet everybody, and then it just kind of went from there.
Okay. Did you have an agent to kind of help you through the process?
Oh no, I didn't yet. Okay. I didn't have an agent at this point. So my agent, actually, Katie Reed with Andrea Hearst Literary, I went through all these agents and sent so many queries and got so many rejections. And my agent actually found me. Hmm. She found me on Instagram because I was making posts about Onyx Storm. Okay. And she was reading Onyx Storm. And she liked my videos. And then she went to my page and saw that I was a debut author or going to be self-publishing. And she asked if I had representation. And so this was all in this month. So I got the agent, and I got the agent a couple weeks after the Simon Maverick deal. This was all a blur. It was a very
Okay. So Simon Maverick deal. So that went through first, and then you got the agent. Okay.
Yeah. And she found me. And so I sent her my manuscript, and
Okay.
And she's amazing.
That's so great. Well, now you have an agent. So now you're agented going into book two and beyond.
Yeah. So I did everything the wrong way. But you know what? It was the right way for me. So
I think that's fantastic. It's such an exciting story. What surprised you the most from working with a Big Five publisher?
The fact that they like me, and they wanted to do well, and you know, they believe in it, and the fact that I'm a debut, and they had only read book one, which I said I edited myself. I know there's a typo. I found the typo. But the fact that they were willing to take a chance on me and offer me this advance and offer me not just a one book deal, but a three book deal, and you know, give me the chance to pick my own narrators, and
sounds fantastic. I was listening to the snippet on Simon & Schuster's website. It sounds great. And you've got two readers, right?
Yes. So that was another thing. Since
that's huge, because a lot of books don't. Most books don't.
That's a big thing in the industry right now, is that duet. And that's my thing too. Whenever I'm listening to audiobooks, I want to hear the man's voice say the man's lines. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to hear the girl drop her voice. And since I'm on debut and everything, they have me set up for just the one narrator, the female narrator. Mm-hmm. But I vouched for it, and I was like, look, I know there's not as much romance because it's a slow burn a book. But I know how book two and book three is gonna end up. And that I really think
I think I lost you for a second, Andrew. Are you still there? I don't know if it's your Wi-Fi or mine. I hope you're still there. I'm just going to keep talking here. Let's see. Let's see. I've got Andrew in private chat, everybody. So I'm going to keep talking and try to get it back. Let's see. I can't. Here. Oh, there you are. Yay.
Oh gosh, I don't know what happened.
Me neither.
But I told them, like, can I please just ask you to ask them one more time, because I know that it will make a huge difference for listeners if I could have that male voice now, because we're going on book one. So, like, I need it. And it worked. And it's just surprised me how much they've really taken a chance on me, you know, being a little baby debut.
Yeah.
And they've really believed in me and, you know, invested in me and my story. And I couldn't be more thankful, you know, for them. And because that's scary. I understand that it costs so much money to take on like a debut author. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. I know it is. And same thing for agents. Like, I understand, like, it's your time is precious. And I know you have to be very selective with the titles that you pick up. I get it. I understand. But it's just the fact that this big five publisher chose me.
Yeah, they believe in the story. Obviously, they do.
Yeah.
I want to remind our viewers out there, even though this is pre-recorded, you can still ask your questions in the chat. We're going to be staffing this when it goes live, Ange, so we'll be able to answer questions there. There'll be some DGG staffers there, myself. If they post questions specifically to you, Ange, can I send them, can I forward them your way? Or publishing assistant? Perfect. Okay. I'm sorry?
I said, I'm an open book, pun intended.
Nice. Yeah. So feel free to ask questions of Ange. I should have mentioned that right at the beginning, and we'll make sure that she receives all of those questions. And speaking, like, as we're getting near time here, Ange, what advice do you have for other debut authors, especially those who are struggling with rejection or maybe the pressures of book talk and other social platforms?
I would definitely say, you need to know what success looks for you, because success is different for everyone, and understand that it's not going to be a linear path to success. You know, I mean, I'm a prime example of failing my way to a big five publisher audio. And one day, when I'm on the shelf, like, I'll be a prime example of failing my way to get there. Yeah. And not just this industry, but everything in life. Like, I mean, you have to be okay with the rejection, and you have to be okay with the no's. And because, like, every no is going to get you closer to your yes. And, but if you don't know what your version of success was, you don't know what to shoot for. Also, like, you got to believe in your story more than anybody else does, because it's your story, and you got to fight to the death until you get it to where you want it to go. And, if you don't believe in your story 110%, how can you expect somebody else to, whether it's a publisher or a reader, you know? And, just really, you gotta go all in, and, you know, decide what you're gonna do, what you want to get out of it, and go all in. And like, there's this one clip from Matthew McConaughey that I just adore, and that's how he's saying, like, if you're going to take a chance on something, like, don't just put your toe in it and be like, oh no, that wasn't for me. Like, you didn't really try.
Yeah.
Like, if this is something that you want for yourself, the only person that's gonna get that is for you. And say you want to be with a traditional publisher and they won't pick you up. Well, okay, the world's not over. You can still go the opposite route, the self-publishing route, and then maybe one day pick up. Or be a successful self-published author. Like, that's not the goal for everybody. Like, you know, not everybody wants to be picked up traditionally.
I love that.
I got messy advice.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah, don't take no for an answer.
Keep going. Keep going. Yeah. There's been so many stories like that. We've heard from some of our best-selling authors who've been doing this, you know, for a decade or longer, that they've been through the ringer too. They went through that gauntlet too. They had rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection. Just finally said, you know, I'm just going to do it. Like, I have to do it. It's who I am. I'm not going to stop writing books because it's who I am. Mm-hmm. And eventually they took off.
Yeah.
So where can people find you, Ange? Is it Instagram and TikTok the best places?
Yes. Ange T. Dalton.
There it is. I'm going to pop it
there. And then I have a link to my newsletter where you can get my prologue for free if you want to read it. Whenever you subscribe to the newsletter. And then I have my website on there too. Some links to merch and et cetera. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to just remind our viewers of some other things here. And then when this goes live, all people in our the DDD staffers will put that in the comments section as well. So our viewers know where to find you there as well. Let's see, a couple announcements to make for our viewers out there. You guys, we love having you here. We appreciate you week in and week out. If you can share and comment on this episode, especially when you share it, it's fantastic because then we get to invite guests like Ange to join us, to tell her about her experiences and give us her advice and expertise. For our viewers out there, if you bookmark ddlive.com, you can see what our next topic is going to be and who our next guest is going to be in subsequent weeks. And finally, for those of you who may be here, maybe it's for the very first time and you are investigating indie publishing for the very first time, you can sign up for a free author account at Draft to Digital simply by going to drafttodigital.com. That is going to bring us to the end of our time here, Ange. I want to thank you so much, number one, for reaching out, and number two, just for being so open with all of us today and sharing everything, your entire journey with us today, and for your time. So
well, thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
I was happy to be here. I use Draft to Digital, so whenever I was like making and trying to like create my ebook and stuff like that, so I was like, oh my god, yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Hang out for a second. Go back in the green room, grab a drink, grab some snacks. I'm going to end the recording. It's going to play a little bit of music, and then I'll see you backstage in just a second. Okay. Okay. All right. Everybody else, thanks so much for being here, and we will catch you here next week. Take care, everybody.
Ebooks are great, but there's just something about having your words in print. Something you can hold in your hands, put on a shelf, sign for a reader. That's why we created DDD Print, a print-on-demand service that was built for you. We have free, beautiful templates to give your book a pro look, and we can even convert your ebook cover into a full wraparound cover for print. So many options for you and your books. And you can get started right now at drafttodigital.com. That's it for this week's Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft to Digital. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with your will-be author friends. And start, build, and grow your own self-publishing career right now at drafttodigital.com.